This morning I tried to preach out of John 8, and it's talking about continuing in the Word of God, and that the truth shall make you free. And we know that the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we think about being made free, there's nothing more freeing than the truth. There's not a religion out there in the world that is as freeing as what the Lord had established and set up and what He laid out and said, here, this is what I'm going to put down for you. Because the way that He did it, there's nothing then you're going to be locked into or you're going to be in bondage to that you might have to worry about. Am I going to lose it? Am I going to have it? He's taken it and He said, here's how simple. The truth is the only one of everything you try to listen to out there in the world. It's the only one that will have true freedom throughout all, from the beginning to the end, no matter what takes place. It will have freedom. You won't be held in bondage that you got to make sure you do something right or you'll lose this, or held accountable for this or you might lose that. It's not how it works. And Brother Ronnie said something in his prayer, and he said, for all the years that the church has been meeting here with all the men that have preached all the different messages that have been preached here, it made me think of something that was over. I tried preaching a few weeks back, and it made me think of that. So, Lord willing, I guess we won't go to John 8, but let's go over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That statement Brother Ronnie made about all the men and how many years, you know, when we pulled in, I was thinking about it. I saw 1809 is how long churches since it's been constituted. And I was just thinking, wow, that's a long time. I mean, and I was thinking that on us pulling in tonight of how long that is. That how many sermons have been preached. And remember, you all went like week-long meetings and did you remember those times when you guys did, you know, seven straight days, multiple meetings per day, three and four preachers a time at each service. It was, when I first came to Primitive Baptist, it was scary. It was like, oh my word, I mean, you're going to have three again? I mean, we just ate lunch and you want to have another three? It wasn't easy. I mean, it was kind of rough. But think about how many sermons and how much truth has been preached from the pulpit right here. How much truth you've heard. And when you want to try to bring that all to a head, you think about what's being said here. Over here in Ecclesiastes, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, this is Solomon who's speaking. He's the wisest of them all. He's the richest of them all. He had this and he said, I'm just going to sum this up for you. I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to make it as simple as I can. Let's get to the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's bring it down. Now, it would have been, if there's, you know, you think about all the sermons that have been preached over the years that you've heard, just in your lifetime, how many you've heard preached, not from every one of the Lord's churches, just from here. And you want to try to take that all and sum it up into one thing. He's saying, well, Solomon's saying, let's take the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's break it down for you. Let's make it simple. I love when we get to the simplicity that is in the Lord. Because when you keep it simple, I can stay. I used to tell everybody, I like deep preaching. Well, deep preaching, it just makes me where I have to scratch my head and go home. I really got to start digging to figure out, you know, do I agree with what he said? I'm not sure. I really don't know. You know, it's a lot of times above my pay grade, if you will. It's a little bit ahead above me. But the Lord, He lays it out smooth. He lays it out simple. He said, when He says something, it's clear. There's no extras to it. He's going to say, let's keep this on with a plainness of speech, a simplicity that you can understand. So when you think about what Solomon's saying here, let's look at what he says. You know, he says, you keep it simple. The world does not keep religion simple. The world takes religion and thinks we have to complicate it to make it seem like we have to say a lot of big things and really confusing things to sound smart so we can say, oh yeah, he knows what he's talking about. But the Lord, when he spoke when he walked this earth with us, when he was here on this earth, when he spoke with the simplicity about him, where he could say, I want to make sure that the children can understand what's being said. That bring them up here, because I'm going to teach it to where they can understand. Why? Because most time, if you watch, they'll understand it before we will, because the adults probably are thinking about what's going on at work this week. How long is he going to preach? Because I got to get home. I got to try to get this ready. I got to get that thing ready. I've got such a busy week at work. I knew I probably shouldn't have come tonight. Brother Wynn was going to preach. I wanted Brother Sam, and I didn't know. If they would have told me it was going to be Brother Wynn, I would have just stayed home. I wouldn't have felt so bad. That's what goes through our minds. Our minds are racing. Our minds, the kids are sitting there, and you can bring them in and watch them. They'll be paying attention. They'll be listening to what's being said. He said, bring them up here. Let's talk to them. He didn't say, let's teach them. And we got to make sure we break down everything with these gigantic words that no one can understand. Or we got with these thoughts that are way too sophisticated. He said, let's make sure we teach them this. Let's break down the conclusion of the whole matter. Keep it simple. But people want complexity, right? People want complexity in it. Think about Naaman over there in Kings. Naaman, he's a leper, and they send him over there, and Elijah says, go wash in the river 7 times. That's all you have to do, and you're going to be cleansed. That's it. That's all you have to do, and your leprosy will be gone. You would think he would have walked away, clicking his heels, been excited, been like, yes, all right, good deal. Now he was upset. He's like, he didn't even come outside to see me. He didn't take any time. It wasn't anything difficult. I could have washed in my own rivers. I could have done that. Our rivers are better. Everything that we have is better. Why would I do this? When you think about that story with Naaman over there in 2 Kings 5, you think about that. That's the way that the religious world works today. The Lord's laid it out that it's salvation is by grace and grace alone. You don't add anything to it, and it's the most simple way that there is. It's the least confusing thing that can be, that you were saved before the foundation of the world, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Doesn't get much more clear than that. He chose himself a people. He took care of it all. He did it all. He declared it's finished. Done deal. Put a period at the end of it. It's completed. That's simple. But man came around and we said, you know what? We can come up with something better than that. We got better rivers than that to swim in. We got better. Our rivers are better than that. Let me tell you what he was really thinking. Maybe you got to do something harder. Maybe you need to participate. Maybe you need to join in. That's when you see that story of Naaman. That's what makes me think about what the world does to religion today and when it comes to salvation. But what did they do? They stopped and they talked to Naaman. They said, go wash in the river. Go wash in that river. washed there, and he washed us 7 times, and he's cleansed. Simplicity. The Lord keeps it simple. So you keep coming down, you go down, he says, the conclusion of the whole matter, and it starts with the first thing, fear God. Fear God, make sure that we know where he is and where we are. What level he's at, what level we're at. If any time that we think that we're going to put ourselves on a level that's the same as God, and whenever you do something that you think you are having to help God because he couldn't complete the whole thing, that doesn't just put you on the same level as him. That actually puts you at a step above him because he couldn't complete something that he came to do and he could only get it almost done and he needed you to help him to get it the rest of the way. I'll tell you, I know my work ethic. I know what I can do. And you don't want my help on a lot of things. I mean, I'm not that. I can do some things pretty well. But if it comes to really getting down to the nitty gritty, you ask my wife. I mean, I am one of those people who will find the easiest way. I will spend time to just, I'll take time to find the easiest way out. She's nodding her head. She's agreeing, right? That's how it works. I will sit there and try to figure out, no, that's a little bit too tough. I'm going to, let's see, you know what? I could have had it done by now, but if I think about a different way, I could probably make it a little bit easier on me. I could have been done an hour ago, but that's how I work. I don't think the Lord is going to be relying on me to make sure that what he wants and his will, he's going to be leaving it up to me to get it done. We don't ever want to make sure that we put ourselves on a level that's equal to or greater than God. That's why he starts right there. Fear God. Make sure you start there. What's he tells? He says, Proverbs 1 and 7. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of knowledge of what we know is when we can keep it in perspective of what we are and what he is, what we are. When people think that we are something, when we were something, then you know what? You got to stop and say, listen, I know what we are. I know what I am. I know what you are. We're not good. We don't have it in us. By ourselves, we got nothing good in us. And when you say that, people in the world will look at you and they won't take it very good and they won't like it and they won't think it's, but when you can truly understand that, then all of a sudden you can see the greatness of God even that much better. You can see how great he is. Because when you think that there's something a little bit good about us, and there's a little bit maybe we can do, all of a sudden you're taking glory away from God. And you're saying, you know what? There was something a little bit. I can see why he would have chosen me. I think I can see why he might have picked me. I assure you. You know, the good thing is you don't have to sugarcoat it for anybody in here. There was no reason for him to choose any of us. None of us. And you can say, you know, you always try to be careful of what you say from the pulpit. But the great thing about it is you can call out. We can call out one another because the Lord calls us out. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. Their righteousness is but filthy rags. He makes sure we know what we are. He said, you start with this. Fear God, because God is not just someone that came about that maybe could do something for us, or he's there for when we might need him. We can handle most things, but you know, some things we don't know. God that we're here to serve tonight is the one that spoke it into existence. Before there was nothing, there was God. Our minds can't get we can't wrap our minds around it. There was nothing, but there was God. And God said, let there be light, and light came. There was nothing about. This is the God that we're coming to serve today. Not just any God, not just some God that people came up with that said, you know, there's a bunch of different gods that people worship and there's a bunch of different ways. That's not how it works. There's but one God, one way, one truth. This is the one we came to do tonight. We are blessed beyond measure. We're blessed beyond measure to understand that where we start with is to fear God. Because when you put it in perspective, how great God is, you can't wrap your mind around it. Our minds can't get there. Our minds are too limited to truly understand how great God is. We can read the words, we can speak the words, but to truly comprehend nothing and something God when there was nothing and how great He is, and when He speaks it, it is, our minds can't get there. You can say, oh, I can picture it. Well, you can picture it to this much of what it truly is. God is so much greater than our minds can get it there. We're limited. But the great thing is that in spite of how low we are, in spite of how great He is, for some reason, because it was His will, He loved the people and He chose them. He says, fear God. Psalm 112, he says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. When we fear God and we walk in a manner that we understand that God is right there with us, that God is greater than everything, that God is the one that we answer to, when we walk with that, our lives are more blessed. We are more blessed. You might not feel like it because you feel like condemnation. You feel like the Lord, I just did this. The Lord's right there. When you stop to remember, Lord saw me do that. You stop and you have those moments where you stop and you say, I just did that and the Lord saw me do that. It's rough, but it's blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth in His commandments. When we make sure that we fear Him and we thank God for Him, knowing that He is right there and He sees all that we do and He knows all that we do before we've done it. And the thing that will blow our minds is He's paid for every sin that we haven't even committed yet. Not just the ones we have committed, the ones that we haven't committed yet, the ones that we're going to go out there and commit in just a little bit, He's paid for them as well. We don't even know what they are, and He's already said, look, I've already got it taken care of. I've paid that. I've already paid that debt for you. That is a blessing. He said, fear God. He didn't start with something hard. He didn't start with anything that was too complicated. He said the conclusion of the whole matter is this, to fear God. And what? And keep His commandments. So when people start to talk about the truth, and they start to ask you what you believe, and we start to explain to them not just what we believe, but what the Bible teaches. That God chose a people before the foundation of the world, and there's nothing that anyone can do to change the elect of God. There's nothing that you can do. The first thing they're going to tell you is, you can do anything you want? Yeah, I mean, I'm not powerful enough to change God because I know where He is and I know where I am. But what was the second thing that Solomon said right there was the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep His commandments. We understand what God did for us. We know what He's done for us. And the sin that I just mentioned that we don't even know that we're going to commit, that we're going to commit in just a little bit, that sin right there that's already paid for, people will be like, well, so you can act any way you want. He followed it up with keep His commandments. Make sure you go in a way when someone has done as much as the Lord has done for us and continues to do for us over and over again, why would we not want to do all that we can just to keep what He's laid out for us, what He's told us to do? And when we keep His commandments, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If there's a way to show love to the Lord for all that He continues to do for us, one of the ways is to do it is to keep His commandments. Then we should be doing all that we can to keep His commandments. You know, it's like when the kids are younger and they want to do a good job. And they do something, they do it, and they come up to you, they say, I did this, and they want you to see it, and they want to see you be happy, and you know, they're all excited. Now that wears off. So if you get young ones, you just might want to grab a hold of that and appreciate it, because that wears out. I mean, when they get older and teenagers, it's gone. They don't do that anymore. But when you get that experience and you have it, they're excited because they've done stuff to make you happy. They've done things that you've asked them to do. They feel good. You feel good. He said, keep His commandments. He didn't say, go out there and do what you want. Try to do this or that. No, He said, keep His commandments. He didn't want to be confusing. He didn't say all the things that I've laid out or that I've told you in times past. Solomon didn't do that. He didn't say, go listen to this person or that person. He said, keep His commandments, the Lord's commandments. When we get confused and we're not sure which way to go, then what we do is we go to the Word of God and we find out the answer and we say, okay, this is what I know to be true. I need to start with the fear of God, a reverential fear, knowing that this is the only way, and then I keep this. Does not matter how many preachers have preached something. It doesn't matter what man says and how good it might sound. Times change. What we have to make sure is that we teach these children and we teach these young ones. And I say young ones, but you know what? Anyway, it's everybody. The old, the young. I think Ronald Lawrence, I think he said there is no middle age, or Sonny Piles, one of them said there is no middle age. So the older, the young, everybody, we need to make sure we keep in track that we only follow what the Word of God says. We say, well, you know, we got to this situation that came up in church and we're going to have to do something, and I don't know, it's not very easy, so if we just do this or that, we bend it around. One thing is, that's not starting with the fear of God. That's not following His commandments. When you don't know how to handle it, you don't know what to do, all we need to do is stop and look to the Lord. Stop and read His Word. Find His answer. Whenever we're not sure which way to go, all we have to do is picture ourselves with a Red Sea in front of us and an army behind us, and just remember to stop and wait on the Lord. You say, "Brad, that's not gonna happen." We just talked about how old this church is. How many? I assure you, we have to practice and we have to retell ourselves these things over and over again, because the world in which we live, we go out there 6 days a week, and it tells us the exact opposite of what we hear in the Word of God over and over again. It's going to hammer us. It's going to make sure it tells our kids, no, it's okay. It's okay to have a thought like this, or to have this opinion or to do that. Everybody can have their own way. What we have to do is, the Bible didn't teach us to be politically correct. It taught us to fear the Lord and go with what His commandments. So when they come to us and they say, well, I mean, nowadays so-and-so takes place. So isn't that going to be okay? No, not if it's not in the Word of God. We start right here. Let's bring in the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's just start right here. When it gets too difficult and you say, well, I don't know where to go. There's so much. I can't find the answer. The answer, I think Solomon, the Lord bless Solomon, give us this for someone like me when it's just can be so overwhelming to try to find the answer. He said, let me give you this. The conclusion of the whole matter is to start right here. Fear God, keep His commandments, and then look what it says, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. Just keep His commandments. Think about the commandments that you say, how difficult they might be in times past. You take someone like Noah, who was given an instruction to go out and build an ark when there's never been a flood before. He said, well, the Lord commanded it. He understood where the Lord was. He understood who He was. The Lord commanded it. He said, okay, I'm building an ark. What is our ark today? And you know, we understand that we're not going out and building an actual ark, but I assure you, there's probably been times in our lives and be times coming where we are in a situation where it feels like we have to decide, am I going to follow what the Lord has laid on me to build an ark out in the middle of nowhere where there's not been a flood? Why would I do this? Why? Because it's the whole duty of man to fear Him and follow His commandments. It's the duty of man. It's what we've been, it's our whole duty just to do these things right here. You know, I was, Luke 1, the angel comes and speaks to Luke 1 and 34 and says, Mary, then said Mary to the angel. The angel come down to Mary. Think about how big of a statement this is going to be in verse 38. So the angel speaks to Mary, and he's telling them that she's going to be with child. And she says, I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born, thee shall call him the Son of God. I mean, something is so hard to put your head around. She's in this situation. The angel's talking to her, telling her what's going on. She's like, this can't be. In verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. In verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She said, just let it be unto your word. No matter how hard it seemed, no matter how crazy it was, the world is getting further and further away from the Word of God. And so that makes it to where we are going to see things seem harder and harder to imagine, to believe, and to hold fast to in the church, in the Word of God, because the world is going so much further away from it. What we got to have is a mindset that says, if you want me to build an ark, I'll build an ark. If that's what you put on me, I'll do it. If you tell me that I've not been with a man, but I'm going to come with a child, that the Holy Ghost is going to come down and overshadow me, what's she say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be unto me according to thy word. So be it. She says, if that's what it's going to be, I'll take it. I don't know how. I'm not sure how it's going to be, how it's going to work out, but I'm going to take it. That's to have that type of obedience in following what the Lord has laid on us is what we should strive to have. And it's not easy. And those things were with the Lord, angel talking to her, the Lord speaking to Noah. When you can imagine the times now when it's in our lives, when we have to make a decision, when it's not easy, when the world's telling us to do one thing and the Word of God is saying something else and you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure. What we have to start with is the conclusion of the whole matter. Stop and break it down. Keep it simple. We don't have to confuse it. We don't have to make it difficult. All we have to do is remember this. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For it's our whole duty. And we can shut the book. If I had a book, I could have shut it. But you shut the book, you can be done. You say that's how simple it is. The Lord left it with us that simple. You say in the New Testament. Think about what He's put us for the New Testament. Matthew 22. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. These two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. When anybody wants to make anything confusing about what the Lord has laid out for us to do, we can say, no, the Lord made it simple. He said, I got two commandments for you. You can hang everything else on this. Because if we do it like this, love the Lord thy God with everything that's in us, all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, love it and love our neighbors as ourselves, we can hang everything else on that. If there is a time anywhere for there to be a commandment on what you need to do to be saved, right here is where it would have been inserted. It feels like the greatest writer that there ever was that inspired it to be written was God Himself. He wouldn't have missed an opportunity to put it in there. He wouldn't have missed a spot to lay it out and said, hey, look, let's flip over to Matthew 22. Let's flip over to that. Let's go over there. He says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He's laying out, they're trying to tempt Him. What is the great commandment right here? He would have made sure he would have made sure He inserted what you needed to do to be safe. So there'd be no confusion. The Lord that is without confusion would have put it right there for you. But He's already laid out what we have to do to be saved. He says it's all of grace. It's not of works. It's nothing you or I can do. I've taken care of it. It is finished. I've done it. So that wasn't the part right here. He said the part right here, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with everything we have in us. Everything we've got. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. So that seems pretty simple. We'll ask ourselves, how often do we get that right on a daily basis? I'll assure you, I struggle with both, making sure I get that right all the time. But with the loving thy neighbor as thyself, I keep to myself. I try not to visit, not to talk, not to get involved. I don't do any of that. That's not what He said to do. He said to love thy neighbor as thyself. He wants us to make sure that when we see ones that need something, when before they ask, that we do it. We're there for one another. Why? Because He loves them. Because He loves them. He loves them. He paid for their sin debt. He loves them like He loves you and I. It doesn't matter if they go to a Printer Baptist church. Doesn't matter where they live. Doesn't matter what they are. That's why I said neighbor. He didn't say former, fellow church member. He didn't say, because anybody can be your neighbor. Anyone can be your neighbor. He said to love the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the whole duty. He gave it to us simple. When Solomon got there in Ecclesiastes 12, he said, all that's been being said, all these one-liners everybody likes to throw out, everything that's hanging on plaques all over, this is the one I've never seen hanging on the plaque. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. That's what we need in our house. We have plaques. I don't even know what they all say. They're all over. It's, you know, they've got some Bible verses. You know, Brother Sam talks about, I forget what he has on his mirror. But I've never seen the one that says, he says, here, let me just keep it simple for you. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, because it's the whole duty that you have. And then when he gets this to us in the New Testament, he says, I don't want you to be confused. I don't want to lay a whole bunch of things out there for you. Here's the two things you got to do. These things you do and everything else you can throw on top of that, it'll be covered. That's how great our God is. He knew he would have ones like us that wouldn't get it right. We're going to falter. We're going to fail. We're going to try to make it harder than what it is. We're not going to do good all the time. We're just, even when the Lord blesses us, we're still going to make mistakes. But what he said is, I'm going to keep it simple for you so you can make sure that you can get it, so you can understand it. When it gets hard, when it gets difficult, we don't know what to do, all we have to do is go to the conclusion of the whole matter. And we can break it down in three parts and say, okay, what part am I not remembering? What part am I not getting? Fear God, follow his commandments, because it's my duty. What part am I not getting? So then when we find out what part we're not getting, then all of a sudden we can start working on that. And then the others can come into place. All the things that have been said, you think about where it's at, the law and everything in the Old Testament, all how confusing that is. The Lord said, I've got that taken care of. Here's the New Testament. Here's the commandments which you live. I've got everything handled, is taken care of. You love me with everything. You love your neighbor as yourself. He keeps it simple for us. He makes sure we understand. When the kids come up and they ask us about something, we don't have to say, well, I'm not sure. All we have to do is go to the Word of God. We can open it up. And when it doesn't fit with the world out there, we say, that's okay. Let me explain why it's okay. Because we fear God, because how where he is and where the world is. That's how great it is. I pray that these thoughts have been a blessing to you.